The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Marcus, and welcome to another episode of Toilet Side Wrestling Talk. Today's guest was trained by Larry Sharp, and you may have seen him in such promotions as Ring of Honor, Monster Factory, and he's been on AEW Dark, amongst many other promotions. But let's not delay any further. Let's welcome today's guest, someone who is absolute to mine, not even close. I give you the absolute athlete, Shaheem Ali.
Crazy, but my man Tommy Oliver, aka Green Ranger, passing away. That shit still bothering me.
Finally, how are you?
Good. Doing good. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you perfectly. You know, I just, there was a little bit of panic for me about 10 to 15 seconds ago. I felt a burp coming up. I'm like, oh shit. I thought it was going to happen when I came on air, but thank God it ended at the end of the highlights. Hey, thank you for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Who's he going to say? I will make this as painless as possible, honest to God. Just the first thing I want to ask you, though, and I just noticed that, was what is a motion capture actor?
Motion capture actor is something very new to me, to be honest. For the last few years, I've been in contact with a company called Virtual Basement, and they have a wrestling video game. I'm not sure when it'll drop because it's still in production, but there's a lot of people in this game, indie, independent wrestlers and, really? Some of the greats from WCW, WWE, ECW. So, I got involved with them a couple years ago and, the motion capture acting, you're doing your own video game stunts. And you get like the whole nine with the suit and
with the little balls on it.
Yeah. And that's a motion capture actor.
Oh, wow.
So
do you get paid for that?
Right now, no, because it's for the Virtual Basement game. And we have yet to, once the game release.
Yeah, sure.
It's going to be great. But right now, being a motion capture actor, I mean, I can claim it because I do motion capture on my own. You know, moves and things like that. And I've been looking to get into that a little bit deeper out here in Atlanta. So I'm making some connections. So we'll see what's going on.
Okay.
So.
When's this game supposed to come out? Or is that like, there's no set date?
It is a to be announced. Yeah. As far as I know, because there's still plenty of people who still need to get their mocap work done. I myself still have to do some mocap work. Huh?
How long was like when you did this for them? How long did it take?
To be honest, we had to break it up in different sections because it's hours upon hours of things. Yeah, because people don't take in consideration of how much work goes behind, motion capture. I didn't for one until I knew. And I'm just like, wow, I feel like I'm at, my wrestling, dojo and stuff like that at the Nightmare Factory, but just triple time the work even more, because you have to do a lot of repetitive things just in case the motion capture doesn't catch it correctly, and then you got to go back and do it again, do the testing, and then get back in the ring and then continue on and stuff like that. And there's like a whole set of moves that I don't even do, but it's there for the general.
They wanted you to do those things.
Yeah. There's the signature moves that I do, my finisher, all the moves I would perform or the things that I can do in a match. And then you have the general basics of the video game, wrestling video game, you know? Uh-huh. So that's always cool to be able to just be a part of that.
When they have you, like, you know, doing a punch, do you have somebody that you're throwing a punch at?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, so is that your
It's live. Yeah. There's usually another wrestler. Okay. Willing to basically give his body up to take a lot of extra punishment.
Oh my God. That's great. I never thought about that. I always just figured like you're throwing punches at the air and trying to like if you had an animated like opponent, you know?
Right.
Okay. Well, that's really interesting. I can't wait for that game to come out with that big of a roster.
Oh so, yeah.
Did you grow up in Philly?
My family grew up in Philadelphia. I actually grew up in Media, Pennsylvania, but I later on in my years, I spent about 10 years in Philadelphia in the Northeast.
So wait, how far away did you grow up from there?
In Delaware County, a little town called Media. It's very, if you live in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, you'll basically like have to go to Media if you have to deal with any like legal things. So like they're it's like a very rich town, I would say, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And it's changed culturally over the years, which is great. And it's a cute little town, you know, and I grew up there. I eventually moved to Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, where I pretty much spent the rest of my teenage years there up until I was about, I'd say like 19 years old, and I left, and that's when I first started going to Philadelphia.
Did you move with your family?
Yes. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was a Halloween, and it was the first time I was in like sixth grade. And, you know, first time ever kissed a girl, and it's, you know, life is changing, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
As life is changing, I moved. So all my friends I grew up with since kindergarten up to like, you know, about to go to sixth grade. It was an emotional time.
Oh my God, I bet.
And I was blessed to be able to make a friend the first time I got to my street on Copley Road in Upper Darby. And there's this one girl, she befriended me, and like, she had like a whole bunch of friends, and like, eventually, you know.
Were you good with girls back then?
Yes, because I grew up with my mother in a single home. My father, you know, was a troublemaker man. So, you know, he had to pay the price. He had to, you know, he was in jail, you know what I mean? But, not a bad guy.
No.
Did silly things, that he wasn't supposed to do, you know, and it sucked because,
how old were you when that happened?
I was little. I was probably like, I want to say like maybe 8 or 9 years old or something like that. But
did you have siblings?
Yes, I do. I have a brother and a sister, but they're now, you know, 20 and 24 and 19 now. So
yeah. So were you angry at your dad?
To be honest, yes, for a long time, like any kid should be, whether, you know, the mother or father get along or not, the dynamic is still important to have a father around, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And I just grew up with a mom. So for me, going back to what you originally asked, my mom was like everything. My mom was my God. She was my God before I was introduced to her God, which is Jesus Christ, you know? my mom was everything. So for me, I was always around women. I was always around my mom, my aunts. My grandmother, but I had two uncles that, you know, got me tough, and my mom was tough too. So like I was always good, but yes, I was always good with girls in a sense of being befriending them. I've always had more female friends than male friends because I think as men, and you can probably understand this, we're very territorial. At the same time, there's this masculinity that has to be matched in order to be able to hang with another guy. You know what I mean? Like you can't hang out with a goofball that's gonna cause trouble, or even if it is that troublemaker, you got to be able to reel them in, and you know. But yeah, I don't know. I was always good with befriending girls and things like that. Didn't have too many girlfriends growing up, but I was always hanging out with girls.
Like I was.
What's up?
You said you weren't scared to talk to girls like I was. You know, I had like anxiety. So did your mom have to like work a ton?
Actually, my mom passed away in 2014, to be honest. But if you're meaning in general, as I was growing up, yes. As a single mother, she had to work 3 jobs.
So, oh my God.
She was, you know, a hard working woman, and she was super tough, beautiful, just tough, you know, beautiful, tough. And just she was a superhero to me.
Okay, let me ask you a question then. Had she ever seen you wrestle?
Yes. Live, she's seen me wrestle 2 times. She didn't really like it too much because she liked wrestling. But she, you know, her baby boy, the firstborn, it was just weird, you know, one of those transitions she wasn't able to master, I guess, as far as being able to be patient and enjoy all the matches of it, you know.
Yeah.
She's seen me or seen the matches of on DVD when I would bring them home.
That's amazing. Let's back up a little bit. When you were a little kid, you know, this is like a little boy, were you interested in things other than wrestling?
Yes, I wanted to be a Ghostbuster.
Really? Oh, really?
Yes, I have a tattoo.
How close did you get to becoming one?
I used to just watch a lot of scary stuff. So because I always thought that, you know, to be a Ghostbuster, you gotta, you know, gotta be scared straight before was a known thing. I was like, I always watch scary stuff. My mom always watched scary stuff, so I was always trying to toughen up, but I was a chump. one thing I was never afraid of ghosts. Ghosts? No, I was like, if I'm a Ghostbuster, I cannot be afraid of ghosts. Even if I see stuff moving and all that, I wouldn't be able to be scared, you know?
Did you get that from the original movie or the cartoon?
Both. I forget which one I actually seen first, to be honest. But when I laid my eyes on both, I was just like all into the animated series and, you know, the movies. I have the most recent movie now. So,
Did you like I haven't seen that one yet. Like, is that an Afterlife?
Yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes, I have the DVD. I seen it twice in the theater.
It's good.
It was great. I liked what they did as far as giving tribute to the old school Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Just being able to see where the new direction is going. Starting from scratch with kids, and I think that's awesome.
Does it set up to make another movie?
Yeah, yeah. And they have like a nice little, you know, stay for the movie. Well, when you're in a theater, you know, stay for that extra. So they have that incorporated in the DVD, of course.
Oh, cool.
That kind of gives you that, are you going to do another one? You know?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so you wanted to be a Ghostbuster. What did were your friends and family aware of this?
Oh yeah. They just thought I was just a silly kid. Cause I was always just a comedic goofball. So joking around. Everybody knows me for joking around or just always trying to make people laugh. So if I wasn't going to be a comedian, a Ghostbuster, an astronaut or a professional wrestler, I don't know what I would have been doing.
Oh, okay. So you had options as it turns out. When did wrestling first come into your like orbit?
When the first time I actually laid eyes on it, I believe, not to speak on other podcasts, but I think I might have got it wrong, but I believe that it was when I was about 5 or 6 years old.
Okay.
And I remember is seeing Macho Man Randy Savage get up to the top rope, and he pointed his finger up to the air, and you know, he was just this larger than life at the time, Macho King. He was just larger than life individual. And then eventually it trickled down, you know, to seeing, you know, other wrestlers from the Ric Flairs to Boat, you know, Rhodes.
Where did you see wrestling? The Rhodes.
Huh?
Where did you see it? Was it on, like, were you at home and someone was watching it?
It was. I'm trying to remember if it was a SummerSlam or a WrestleMania I might have caught.
Okay.
But, it was a Saturday Night Main Event, to be honest.
Oh, nice. Okay.
The old classic Saturday Night Main Event.
Yeah, and I watch it every Sunday morning, actually, still.
I just remember my mom was, like, knocked out. She put it on. She, you know, she sat me down, she put it on, you know, I was, you know, having my food and she was tired and she put that thing on. Perfect. She had no idea. She had no idea what she sat in front of me or put before me.
Yeah.
That would get me here today.
Did she ever watch with you?
Oh yeah. She was not super huge fan until like Triple H and, you know, well, I'll say Undertaker came on onto the scene early game, and then Triple H later on down the line, because she had those two posters in her room and those are her two favorites. So like she definitely she liked Undertaker, she liked Triple H. So that was one thing that was really cool about my mom, because like she was very low-key wrestling fan. You wouldn't notice it, but if I watched it, she would never leave for like a while until she had to go do something else. But she would sit for like, you know, 3 or 4 matches, you know, even with the commercials, you know, because she wanted to see what was going on.
Are those like cherished memories?
Yeah.
Like of watching with your mom?
Oh yeah, for sure. Just because she was just so chill about it. Like,
yeah.
And she never really batted an eye, or, you know, never really spoke. We never really like had conversation about who my favorite wrestler was. She kind of knew, because I'm running around the room, you know, in my draws and pretending to be Macho Man, you know, as a little kid. Like, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, you know macho.
Yeah,
my
proton pack is in the app right now, so I'm doing this. How were you as a student?
Oof. Well, this is the Toilet Side Wrestling podcast. So I can literally say that I was not focused all the time, to be honest. I was a class clown. Some teachers weren't, I wasn't on their favorites list, but a lot of teachers I was. And I was really, I mean, I always kept like a solid B or C. I would have an A in gym class. I was an athlete, so I would always have an A in gym class for sure.
Yeah, totally. Were you on any teams?
I played summer league basketball for like 4 years for the Police Athletic League in Upper Darby. And that was awesome. That was a great time. Got a trophy. I know it broke like years ago when my mom was still alive and kicking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Had the trophy, but it broke. I forget how. I probably knocked it over or something doing it.
Did you play guard?
I played center.
Until there
was like a bigger kid than me, that was like,
I have
it. But I played center, power forward, and small forward.
Oh wow! And was there ever any like thought of going like into college and playing?
Yes, because I wanted to go to Temple University, but because I was a big Shaquille O'Neal fan, you know, and the greatest center of my time, and I just really wanted to, I knew wrestling was for me, because I wanted to be a basketball player. I really did. But wrestling always called to me. It was just something mystical about it that always called to me. It always, my eyes always had to be watching. I always had to emulate.
Did you have this did you formulate any sort of plan while you, as you were getting close to graduating high school, as far as wrestling?
Yes and no. I never did. The funny thing is, I never did or competed for amateur wrestling. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think, had I known, that would have helped me get a lot further and like sooner, I would have done it. But I had no clue, like growing up until I was 19, and people were like, oh yeah, have you ever done amateur wrestling? I'm like, no, I didn't do any of that in high school. Mm-hmm. But I did not graduate from high school.
Okay.
I was going.
Did that upset your mom?
Yes and no, because my mother was always supportive of my decisions, because she raised me to always be sure of things.
Okay.
And always to go after what I want. So for her, she was very nervous. She was very upset and disappointed. I remember she did cry, because she wanted to see me graduate. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a good fit for me at the Upper Darby High School. Some of the teachers were a little funky with their attitude and things like that. And when I tried to do good, I already had the rap sheet for being a class clown. So they never really gave me a fresh start when I tried to give myself a fresh start. Mm-hmm. And I got frustrated to the point where I was just like, you know what? No, I know what I want to do. I don't want to, and not, no offense to anyone that's put themselves through, you know, furthering their education. But for me personally, I thought that college at the time was a waste, because I know that to be a professional wrestler, you didn't need to go to college. You needed to know. You needed to know how to get in. You needed to find a gym, and you needed to find a location to be able to train. And I was like, well, I'm going to make it. So I just need to find it.
And with that plan you had, college isn't going anywhere. You know what I mean?
I plan on going back to school, by the way. Let me just
I will. Exactly. Like, that's going to be there. But like, you know, you're young and you want to, you know, strike while the iron's hot, so to speak.
Right.
So when did you remember deciding, like, or did you have to get a job right away?
Oh, I did. I worked. The moment I knew, I kind of tried to secure things for my mom, because like I said, she was worried. She was nervous. Yeah, and sure. I literally just sat down with her and I said, hey, I am going to drop out. I am not comfortable here at this school. And I feel like I could just go get my GED and I will go work, and I want to pursue professional wrestling somehow, some way. And she wasn't so happy at first.
Sure, sure. But she's a mom.
And yes. And she was like, okay, just make sure that you work. If you're going to do this, you got to make sure that you work. And that's what I did. I started out at AMC Marple 10 in Springfield, Pennsylvania.
Nice.
Working at the movie theaters. 18-year-old working out, working there with a bunch of 16-year-olds. And as everyone's just looking at me like, why are you here? I'm like, because I dropped out of school and I want to be a professional wrestler. So I'm here, you know?
Now, what type of shape were you in at that time?
Still, I was like, man, super small. Wait, I was like, shout out to my man Cheeseburger. I was Cheeseburger thin.
Oh, really?
I was Cheeseburger thin, man. Hold on.
I want to show you. This is just completely random what I was going to wear tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just completely coincidentally.
That's my bro, man. Big Cheese Cheese.
Yeah.
Big in Japan. Okay.
So you were that small.
180 pounds.
Did you think that was good? You were in a good enough shape to go start training?
No. I just didn't care. I was just like, you know what? I'll work out. I will eat. I will do whatever. And at the time, my metabolism, you know, as an 18, 19 year old, it was just cutting, like just burning, because it's just going down. And it's just, I would just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat as much as I possibly could. I would eat like 5 to 6 cheeseburgers in one sitting, double fries, extra cheese. Like, I was just packing on just because, you know, eating tons of wings and all that, nothing.
But you couldn't keep it on.
Could keep it on. No problem. No, nothing. And it was rough because, like, so many other people were, you know, bigger than me. And, like, I just remember it started, I guess, like, at one point, I started noticing that it started packing on when I turned like 20, 21. So I started to stick on. So I was like, oh, I got to watch what I eat. And eventually I became a little bit of a fat ass for a little bit. I ain't gonna lie. But nah, man, like, it was rough when I first started out, like 19 years old, man, 2006 in of August. And I remember I was at Rockin' Rebels. He was not a nice guy, but I didn't care. And not to speak ill on the dead or anything like that, but he and my father were the two main sources of my frustrations that pushed me to keep coming back to training. Besides the passion that I had for wrestling, there was times where it almost felt like I needed to walk out that door. And because the guy was just not, like I said, he wasn't a nice individual. And I'm not saying a coach needs to be nice, but he was very ignorant. I didn't know he was prejudiced until I found out later on when I actually worked for him. I was going through some tough times trying to keep up with just, you know, paying dues and stuff like that. And the AMC wasn't cutting it. So I was like, hey, I'll do whatever. Can I work for you? Because he had a lawnmower, he had like a landscape business. So I was just like, hey, I'll do the lawnmower. I'll do the weed whack. Just teach me how to do it or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, the way that you need to do it, and I'll work. So I worked with him. And when I discovered that my coach was prejudiced, it ruined me a little bit. And I heard him over talking with one of the other guys that I would train with that worked with us too. This dude, Sarge or whatever his name was. And I just remember he said something, making a joke, something N-word or whatever.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, here we go. So then I remember quitting his dojo for a little bit.
Was that the first place you trained?
Mm-hmm. It was in Phoenixville. Sorry about that. We're all over the place. Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. At Black Bald Wrestling Organization. That's what it was called.
Okay.
This is where I met for the first time a lot of people who are still doing pretty well in their career. Rhett Titus was someone I met there. He didn't stay too long either. Rhett's awesome. Mercedes Martinez. Shout out to Mercedes Martinez and Rhett Titus. Them two were definitely really cool people. They were ahead of me at the time, and they were just always approachable. I didn't really speak to them too much because I was like a greenhorn. The newbie. But I was just so excited to meet people that I was watching when they would perform on the shows, and I'm a student, so I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I train with them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, they were really cool to meet. And I ran into them not too long ago. I traveled around the road. This is going ahead of time, but
go ahead.
I'm still cool with Rhett Titus and Mercedes Martinez, who I, you know, ran into not too long ago. But yes, they will always be melted into my heart for sure.
That's impressive that, you know, you met the two of them who've had really nice careers. The first place you trained. How did you decide to train there?
To be honest, it was a buddy of mine that I actually started wrestling with, Rob, my buddy Rob. His stepfather found the Phoenixville dojo or training facility because we were destroying the living room and the backyard at my buddy's house, and you know, it was a blessing. It was a blessing and a curse, only because the place, like I said, dealing with what I had to deal with, a lot of people would have ran away and never would have, you know, never came back, you know? And I was just like, nah, that's not me. This is what I want. And if this is all I had no clue like what to look for because I wasn't looking in the right places. Had I known, I could have ended up at CZW. I could have ended up with Monster Factory way earlier on. Maybe even the Ring of Honor dojo. Had I known and did better research at the time, we didn't have great internet, so it was the dawn of the internet time. So it's like I didn't really type, in the search bar for wrestling schools as much as I should have. But luckily, my buddy's stepfather found it, and that's how it happened.
So when did you? Okay, so your boss was like, prejudice. Where did you go after that?
I was invited to a company called ACPW, American Championship Wrestling. Mm-hmm.
They reached out to you?
A wrestler by the name of Caveman. Mm-hmm. He was like, hey, you don't need to be here getting treated the way you do. There's a spot I want you to check out. And I got to meet different personalities. And this was in Philadelphia. So this is where I made my transition to get interested in being in Philadelphia a lot more. Mm-hmm. So ACPW was a very low rent company. Me and the booker always kind of butted heads a little bit because I was always speaking up for myself, and I always believed that no man, doesn't matter what profession that you're in, should talk to you any kind of way. Yeah. And he wasn't prejudiced, but he was just slightly ignorant. So I would always kind of combat him and speak up for myself. And sometimes I didn't know at the time in the wrestling world, the different wrestling rules. I had no idea of wrestling. There was a wrestler's court. There's all kinds of stuff going on back then when I started that I had no idea of. I'm like, who determines what a wrestling court should look like? Who's the judge and the jury? And
all
kinds of stuff like that. And then I heard at the time, you could get blackballed at a professional wrestling. And I had no idea that was like a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just this 19-year-old kid just getting introduced to this carnival, this universe that had no idea was there, right in front of my eyes. And it was a time.
Did you have somebody at your same level that you could like talk to, or was it like you were just on your own and there's all these vets and?
No, my buddy at the time that I started with, Rob Prefontaine.
Yep.
He and I were called Guilty Conscience. Why?
Oh, okay.
We just thought it was a cool name. It sounded cool. We tried to come off as these tough, black guys or whatever from, the suburbs. And we didn't play no games. So it was just kind of like, we're coming to entertain and we're with what we get. And
so you had someone to lean on.
Yes.
Coming up.
And he was one of my high school best friends too. So that always helped.
Oh, that's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Now, do you remember your first match? Had you ever been in a wrestling ring prior to training?
No, I was never in a professional wrestling ring. Now, I couldn't even talk. I was not in a professional wrestling ring at all. Uh-huh. And I'll go back to my first day of training.
Okay.
That's funny. The first day of training, I don't know the rules or anything. I just see the ring. I immediately get excited. My eyes light up. And the first thing I thought of was, all the high flyers that I loved and appreciated at the time. And, still to this day, Eddie Guerrero, Jeff Hardy, Rey Mysterio, like anybody I ever seen go to the top, I'm just like, this is my moment. And I just darted. My buddy's like, what are you doing? It's mind you, it's I'll paint the picture for you. This Blackballed Wrestling organization, it was in a garage. And it was in a very cold garage with very cold weights. with web, you know, they get spider webs all over. It's using it. It's just, you know, it's grungy, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And like, I'm not even caring about none of the details of that. I just took off, climbed to the top, stood at the top and did a swanton. Out of all things to do, uh-huh. I did a swanton, not knowing how the ring felt. And man, oh man, I learned very quickly how exciting, but yet painful a wrestling ring really is.
Oh my God. How did you know that you could even do one? Like, I mean, did you know you could flip?
Wrestling around, practicing with my friends in the park. This was before, you know, backyard wrestling was recorded or ever, you know, known to be a thing. Uh-huh. I believe that I was part of that generation that inspired what was that got started up, you know, as far as wrestling. Because we wrestled anywhere and everywhere, elementary school parks, as long as the kids weren't around. We'd wrestle on top of me and my buddies, like wrestle on top of cargo, loads. I actually fell off of one before trying to be like Mankind.
Did you get badly injured?
No.
Really,
the adrenaline and pain resistance that I had was high. It was kind of like, oh, it hurt, but it was a good hurt, you know?
Yeah, totally. Like,
oh, yeah, I need this.
Yeah, totally. It's a great story, too. Did do you remember your first match?
Yes, my first match was actually against my trainer because that was kind of like his little funny way of trying to welcome us into the business as he spoke. And it was a handicap match because me and my buddy were like I said, he was like, my buddy Rob was like a buck 65, maybe buck 70 soaking wet. And I was like 185, you know, and it was like he just was able to take advantage of us. And it was terrible because like, myself and Rob, he got chopped in his back and his chest and all that stuff. And it was it was terrible because it wasn't a wrestling match. I knew it wasn't a wrestling match the moment.
Was it just like a punishment?
Not even a punishment. It was just kind of like it felt like an initiation, but it was like the wrong kind. It didn't seem proper because it didn't seem like it was a show to me. There was nothing of it that we talked about.
Yeah.
And, he said he's going to take it easy on us. He's going to give us, there might be a suplex. There might be a body slam. There might be this and that. Just look out and just brace yourself. Protect your neck, you know. None of that happened at all. And it was.
Oh, wow.
It was terrible. The only thing
that happened was his finish.
I was very upset because had I known what I know now, I'd have been able to protect myself a lot more. And show him up at that.
Oh my God. Okay, so where did you have your first like one-on-one match, you know, where you were on your own?
Where I was on my own, it was a while because I was in a tag team married to a tag team for quite some time. It wasn't until I want to say maybe I've been doing it since 2006. So it was like a while. It was like a couple of years before I really, really had like a match that I can remember where I was actually turning heel. And I loved it. I had no idea how to be the bad guy, but I just had the idea in my head of the things that made me mad in my life is good enough motivation for me to have the mindset to go in there and know that I am not to be liked.
Did you, when you were a kid and you were, you know, big wrestling fan, did you ever picture yourself as a heel or, you know, or a face when you got older and were going to be in the business? Like, did you always picture yourself as like a hero?
To be honest, yes and no. I always pictured myself to be both. Because of the greats, you know, watching Macho Man flip, going from, you know, Macho King to, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage, you know, and he did it so well to where it was like, I didn't care when he switched it up, where most people were like, you know, booing, you know, I was just
yeah,
please, more.
And then when throughout your training do you start like thinking about a character and like the direction you want to go? Is this something you've thought of as like a kid?
As a kid, yes. I always wanted to be pretty much like Macho Man. Because it was just the flashiness. It was the strength and the ability that he showed, athleticism, and like going back, you know, saying it again, he was literally larger than life to me. I was like, there's no way that this is a real human, whether he was on Arsenio Hall or just watching him perform. He was just always Macho Man, and it was one of the greatest things you could ever see.
So how did you pick your finisher then? Is there honestly a lot of thought that goes into that?
Yes, it does, because I was fortunate enough to – I'm a huge video game player, so I was fortunate enough to be playing a wrestling game since the beginning of time, since Nintendo. I've had, you know, WrestleMania and all the other, you know, different wrestling games that came out with names that weren't, you know, affiliated with WWF or excuse me, WWE. Mm-hmm. So I was just going through one of the recent games that were out at the time, one of the SmackDown games, and they gave you the option of being able to create a move. And this was like later on down the line that I actually created my own move that I still use to this day. But my first ever real finisher, I believe, was just a frog splash because of Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
One of the greats. Mm-hmm. But yeah, frog splash was definitely one of my starting finishing moves.
Yeah.
But the move I created that I use now to this day is called the end game, being a gamer myself, that's where it thrives from. It's basically an Oklahoma slam spin out rock bottom.
Okay. I think I've seen that. Did you always make yourself in when you played like the 2K games? Oh yeah, games?
For sure. Cause I always wanted to picture myself on what I would like, what moves that I would want to study, or the moves that are already there that I actually do and forgot that I know. Cause I know so much that over through time, it just kind of, you know, when going to different companies or even then, when I got a chance to get my opportunity, which I know we'll talk about with Ring of Honor, there was a lot of restrictions and I didn't like, I'm not big on restrictions unless it's absolutely, absolutely necessary. Okay. And I just really disliked a lot of the companies I worked for only because there was always somebody who had a move that I was comfortable doing. And they would be like, hey, you can't do that because that's my finish, or you can't do that because that's part of my repertoire. I'm just like, okay, but this is professional wrestling. Everybody kind of reuse, recycle, because we're all fans at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So how did you end up hooking up with Ring of Honor, or do they find you, or do you like go to them?
No, they were scouting. I don't know how strongly, but I know they were scouting lightly. Moving on into the years, I was fortunate to get an opportunity to be seen by Kevin Kelly. I met him in a parking lot at the Monster Factory in Paulsboro, New Jersey. There was a seminar that he was a part of. And at the time, I was in a tag team called AC Rock. And normally, I wasn't the guy to be in the front, the front man to be to talk first.
Yeah.
But this was during a time where I was at my one of my low points, because my mother passed away that very same year. And I just went in with as much promo energy I possibly could. And I don't recall exactly how the promo went, but I know that Kevin Kelly took a liking to me, and that was a huge blessing for sure, because I wasn't sure if I was going to put the boots down, because for me, my mother passed away. And
yeah,
for me, before I had my kids, my mother, like I said, was everything. So her giving this gift of put me in front of that TV as a child to watch, you know, Saturday Night Main Event, changed everything. And I've never let it go. And I wanted to tribute and give back to my mom for working so hard as a single mom. And for me, I always see myself making it. And the moment that I made it, that first, you know, paycheck, you know, I'm hooking moms up, you know, that was the dream. So it's like, I gotta make it. I gotta make the connections. I gotta get there because I have to get my mom that house. Mm-hmm. That's really what it was about. And once I get my mom in a house, buy her a car, even though she wasn't big on driving, I would still, you know, I just wanted to set her up because she deserved it. She earned it a million times over. And when I lost her, I lost a part of myself.
A big part, I'm sure.
The love that I had for wrestling started to dwindle a little bit, only because the light started to go off, only because I felt like, well, who am I really performing for? And I wasn't in the right mind because it was like, you know, of course, the fans, the people who I can inspire to want to become something, even if it's not a wrestler.
Yeah.
When I lost my mom, man, that was rough. So it's like, I didn't know what I was going to do. But Kevin Kelly spotted me and spoke to me, and he walked me over to Rhett Titus, because Rhett Titus was actually at this seminar. At the Monster Factory. And it was just funny because I don't think he knew I knew Rhett. And I'm, you know, I've was like, yo, what's going on, Rhett? How you been? You know, whatever. And he's like, hey, could you get him, Kevin Kelly, speaking of Rhett, you know, can you get him up there, you know, whatever, on a Wednesday or a Thursday? And then he turned to me and said, can you get up there? You know, and he's putting his name on the line. It's Kevin Kelly, you know what I mean? And that day changed a lot because at the time when I first, and now we're going to go a little bit back in time, when I first got a chance to see any footage of Ring of Honor, there were DVDs from an ex-girlfriend that she was just a fangirl. I'm sure there's other names out there that the business used at the time, but she was a fangirl heavy. I didn't know that. I just thought she liked wrestling and liked me because I was doing both and being an awesome human being. I thought she liked that, and then I'm funny and I'm in wrestling, so I thought I thought I was a package. Anyway, she had this like huge collection of ROH DVDs, and I'm like just watching them. I got to see Special K. I got to see the Briscoes, Samoa Joe, you know, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, you know, all the, you know, I got to see a lot of what Ring of Honor had to offer. Roderick Strong, Adam Cole, you know, the list goes on.
Oh yeah. It's, I mean, and they're all huge in like the mainstream, promotions right now.
Right. So when I seen this, it definitely was like, there's another place that is just as cool as an ECW or a WWE, but they're just not on mainstream just yet. Mm-hmm. I was like, they go. And then like when I started watching it, and then I eventually got to the point where I got to see New Japan Pro Wrestlers be a part of Ring of Honor, and I was like, I lost my mind. I was like, wait, what is going on here? I was just starting to get introduced to a whole just depth of wrestling. I had no idea that there was, New Japan Pro Wrestling out there or anything like that. So I started getting to the YouTube a lot heavier.
And at this time, is the passion coming back at all, you know, after your mom has passed? And
It was her. And I believe it was her spiritually that had to come over me and made me go to that seminar, because I wasn't going to go, to be honest. And I just think it was her in my head, like, you need to go. You need to go.
And was this the first time you're getting a consistent paycheck when you're in Ring of Honor?
Oh, no. Well, since we're all over the place. Yeah. Going back to when I got the opportunity from Kevin Kelly to go train, I got an opportunity to go train and to be welcomed in at the ROH dojo. Mm-hmm. And I trained a lot with Delirious. And
how often is a lot every day?
It was four nights. It was very educationally grueling, because I will say that Delirious has outstanding cardio.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And if you have to have a training match, or just even a regular match with him, just a training match alone, mm-hmm. I advise anyone to really get up in there with Delirious if you ever get an opportunity, or go to any of his seminars. Big shout out to Delirious. Thank you, sir. He was all over me, and I was just not prepared for that kind of intensity, and his energy was just so live. And I really gravitated and looked up to him as well. Not just because he was the main coach, but almost like my favorite word. I apologize. It's just my brain thinks about different things, so it floats all over.
Sure.
He really changed the game for me and helped me with the psychology of this industry. And thank you. Whenever you get a chance to watch this, Delirious, thank you.
Yeah.
And big shout out to, of course, Larry Sharp, Pretty Boy Larry Sharp, who I met prior to his untimely passing. He was amazing. And then when I got handed over to Danny Cage, thank you, Danny Cage. Thank you, Larry Sharp. Thank you. There's so many people I could possibly thank in this podcast. It would be QT Marshall's another person. You got Damian Priest, who went by Luis Martinez at the time. Cody Vance, which is a good brother of mine. New Jack. I've been around a lot of people.
Yeah, before. God.
Blue Meanie, Two Cold Scorpio.
And everyone you've been in the ring with, like.
Right.
Are you like proud of yourself? Like, say you decide you're going to start wrestling today out there. Are you impressed with like what you've done?
No, not at all.
No, why is that?
I think that through the times that I've gone through, the different things I experienced, and then that hit I took in 2014. Honestly, man, I can honestly tell you that my brain was scattered a lot through life, just trying to figure out what my life is about now. Because my mother was my world, so yeah. I never would have thought I would have lost my mama in 2014 or at all. So it was something unprepared, and cancer fucking sucks. So to have my mother ripped out of my world at a time where, I'm a father, she's a grandmother now, and I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing pretty good with wrestling. I'm starting to make moves, in the right direction with Ring of Honor. I'm not happy with it because I need to go harder. I'm an emotional person, man. I'm a Scorpio, so I can give you the codex to who I am, but you'll still never figure me out. So
I get that.
I would let you know I'm a human being, and I give a shit a lot about life and my life and the things that I need to do. And I want to be an inspiration. I don't feel like I'm there yet, because if I'm going to be an inspirational character or an individual in someone's life, whether you meet me on the street, whether we train together, whether you see me perform, I'm a human being all through and through. I love people, so I always want to be able to entertain. I always want to be able to show love, and I feel like I haven't done enough of that yet on this planet. And professional wrestling is just one of the ways that I feel like I can connect and open me up to more, you know, possibilities to be able to get people to be inspired to follow their dreams, to see my road and my quest and where it's going. I'm not done. I just turned 37 on Thursday, November 17th, and I feel 24. So.
Oh, okay. Awesome. How old?
I'm not going anywhere.
You have at least one child.
Two.
More than
two,
one. You have two. Have they seen you wrestle?
Oh yeah, they were around for a few matches, but they were little, very very small. The older that they got, they didn't really care. They just think they're just like, okay, my dad's a wrestler. You know, you beat people up. You know,
yeah,
that's cool.
Did they ever go in the ring with you?
Yes, when they were like really small, but I was weirded out because of germs and stuff. We're all sweating.
Yeah.
We don't know, you know, what people got or don't. You know
for
what I mean?
Sure, so, for sure.
Like, don't touch your robes. Matter of fact, just get out of the ring, you know. But the moment they start walking around, I get excited. So I'm like, ooh, maybe my daughter or my son. But I'm like, for right now, get out the ring. But it looks cool. I did like them being in there, you know.
Do you ever wake up like on like a Friday or Saturday and the morning of a match that evening, do you ever wake up and like, ugh, I gotta wrestle tonight?
There's only been a few times that I could say I woke up and I wasn't really excited to wrestle. Perform? Uh-huh. I'm always excited to perform. Let's get that straight. I love to perform no matter what.
Uh-huh.
You know, when matching with people, you sometimes get in there with people that you really would truly like to knock their block off, because certain people don't have the passion. They want to fake it to make it. Certain people out there, and they know who they are. Their business will wean them out, most of them. I'm not a big fan of people who aren't really living it when they're in there, you know, because you gotta be able to connect in a different way when that light switch hits, when that music starts and it's your song and you really love that song, and you know, no matter what, it doesn't matter if there's 20 people sitting out there because it's a lighthouse. Yeah. It doesn't matter if there's 100 people out there because the house is starting to build, if you're at a good company that's starting to make waves, or you're somewhere that's in an arena that holds, you know, 30,000 plus or something, you know, and I live it, man. So it's like, if I get in there with somebody that I know is not there yet, and I want to give them advice prior to like, hey, let's really like be in this. Like, I'm going to give you everything I have, and we're going to be sore at the end of the night, because this is going to be a wrestling match and this is going to be a fight, because that's what I want. That's how I don't like. And this sounds crazy. I'm not someone that can come alive if I know I'm in there with someone who is afraid to perform.
Yeah.
Because I end up becoming a bully, and I don't like that. And it's not being a bully in the sense of like, I'm just going to just trash them with moves. Like, no, it's that my profession has me at a level where I am not going to allow myself to look foolish out here if we're going to perform. And this can go from a regular 6-minute match to a straight up street fight for 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Be that way in order to cover this person's insecurity or their unpreparedness. And, you know, I've been there. So, and I'm not saying I love making mistakes, but the one thing that I always preach to a lot of students, you know, in order to become a professional wrestler, you need to make mistakes, and you need to make them at training. And if they happen at a show, it sucks. It happens. That's why Botchamania was created. But hey, you could always come back from it if you're a good person. And I'm one hell of a good person. So for me, if anything I've ever dealt with that turned out to be botchful or a slip up or something, I always was like, you know, the next match is the worry. That's the, I don't want to go wrestle because I'm like, I want to perform, you know. Or it's just, I know I'm wrestling somebody that I'm not too fond of, because, you know, in this business, you meet different people and they come from different backgrounds and different life journeys, and you never know the type of people you're in there with. I've been in rings with people who got exposed in the Me Too stuff. So for me, like, I feel dirty sometimes, you know, but obviously at the time you don't know. So it's nowadays it's kind of like, I'm always like, I got to do research on this person. Not like, you know, nothing super personal, but enough to where it's like, all right, let me have a conversation. If I get a chance to have a conversation with them, that lets me get a little closer to what their passion is. Because I'll know that we're going to go out there and we're going to light it up because you love wrestling just as much as I do.
Yeah, sure.
But if you're someone that just wants a paycheck and you want to just get on an AEW or an NXT or an Impact and you're just trying to get on just to get on, just to have money, like, this is not, it's bigger than that. Granted, the money part.
When you worked for AEW Dark, are you able to enjoy the experience, or is it stressful?
It's everything is supposed to be. It's slightly stressful because if you've never done AEW Dark and you're trying to get into the rotation, it can be a little frustrating if you know there's so many different people in the back that are just working. And everyone's moving and it's the production area is no joke. So it's like, you got to like know who you're supposed to talk to. And granted, most people introduce themselves, but the moment they introduce themselves, they shouldn't have to do it twice. And you need to be on your game, but trust and believe that AEW is a wonderful, wonderful company that I was very happy to be able to get an opportunity to go up there and want to go back. I can tell you that I'm going back. I don't know when, but I'm going back.
You'll be there.
My face is going to be seen. I'm going to get my opportunity. But yes, I really enjoyed being there at AEW Dark. It was very awesome to be able to see what goes on. It's exciting, you know, and you got different people you watch. You know, you got different people walking past you that you do watch. I always get excited to see a wrestler. I don't care if he's the same age as me or younger. I already know. It's exciting, you know. You get a chance to just be a part of something special because someone, whether they're catching it on, you know, when they catch it on YouTube or they're watching the company faithfully and things like that, it's exciting to meet that, to meet fans that know that you've gotten opportunities, and then it branches out further. It's that connection that you make with people. And then again, when I'm speaking to another talent, it's always cool because then I get to hear a little bit about their story and where they came from and what got them here. It's exciting to me. Like, I love professional wrestling for its journey and its adventure that comes with it. That's totally unexpected.
In the last, say, 15 to 20 years, has there been a day that you didn't think about wrestling at all?
That I didn't think about wrestling?
Yeah.
No. I'm honestly, I feel like I'm somewhat of a not a maniac, but I go a little crazy sometimes with certain things because the people I trained with and the information that they gave me, it kind of just rains upon me all the time in my brain. I'm always thinking. So when I watch a movie, an action movie, whether it be a martial arts flick or it be like just a general action movie from the old school Stallones and the Arnold Schwarzenegger and Van Damme and Jackie Chan, Wesley Snipes, you know, I could name a lot of people that I watched their movies, and like, I want my wrestling to have that action feel to it. Because come on, everybody knows what wrestling is. I'm not going to use the bad F word, but everyone knows what professional wrestling is, and it's art. It's more than just entertainment. It helps people in different ways. I've met people that they've told me wrestling has saved their life, and it also saved my own.
So
wrestling is bigger than just what you see. It's what it does for you. You know, you get excited to go talk to somebody about wrestling and you bump into somebody in the store. They might see you with a t-shirt or whatever. And you might now make a new buddy, or you might meet the love of your life because she or this, you know, individual, she, he, him, them, you know, whatever. I don't want to be rude, you know. You might meet somebody that never was meant to be in your life, but wrestling brought them to you because, you know, it's something more. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be that person on a shirt. I want to be that person on a lunchbox. I want to be that guy that's on TV. That's seen, that people can listen to and hear and feel that everything that I say or what I believe in has never been fake. And everything that I am is always going to be brought to you as I am. I consider myself, going back to what you were saying before, you were talking about the character stuff, I've always struggled with, to be honest, I've struggled with the whole finding a character thing because I've always felt pressured from different trainers of my past. Mm-hmm. Not a Larry Sharp or anything like that, but or not even Delirious, but there's just different people that always harped on it, and it was just like, well, I'm me, and I feel like I'm a character. I've always been a class clown. So not saying I want to have wrestling matches that involve so much comedy because I don't want to get typecasted as a comedic wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with having a little bit of fun and some hilariousness along the way, which I have done. And I'm always open to it. But I've always seen myself to be myself. I always wanted to find out that part of me that's been the class clown, that part of me that always been that inspiration and that just that no quit energy that I have, but I'm also just very animated naturally. I'm still to this day, I can honestly say that I'm always switching it up in some sort of way because my mood always switches. So when the mood switches, the personality is still the same, but there's a part of that trait that turns up. So it's like, if I want to walk out, for instance, if I want to walk out on my next match and I've had a bad day, I will ask the booker if it is okay to switch up my role, because I will illuminate, I will create a bright light with my energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that if I'm a babyface, I'm still going to do the same thing. If I'm having a great day, it's going to be even better. If I'm having a bad day, it's going to get better the moment my music hits. And I'm a bad guy, you know? That's why I've always wanted to be both. But I've done the character work before, as far as, like, I was doing, like, a party. Not like the party. But I was always doing something that was, like, going with the time. So I remember I was doing like a shuffling dance thing for the tag team AC Rock and the Monster Factory. And we were kind of like doing a tribute to LMFAO because, you know, Party Rock is in the house tonight. You know, that was like when that came out, that changed partying for like quite some time. And I thought it was perfect because at the time, the partner that I had, you know, he listened to it. I listened to it. We also both trained at the same place, and then I eventually, you know, was kind of like help training him a little bit before we transitioned over to the new Monster Factory in Paulsboro at a time, and it was perfect. So I can do the character work, yes, but for me, I'm still trying to find Shaheem Ali, the entertainer. And I think that's where I'm at now. I think that I'm the entertainer. I'm not going to say I'm like The Rock or Booker T or Macho Man, but I can emulate what I've loved. And to me, I believe everything I say. So now I would say maybe I have somewhat of a character. And I know people are probably like, oh my gosh. Why are you burying yourself? No, I'm not burying myself. I'm an honest man. I'm an honest man to make it. And I feel like I am the real deal for real. And that's what my moniker or my punch line is. I am the real deal for real, Shaheem Ali. And everything you see and everything I say and I do, you're going to believe it because that's exactly who I'm giving you. And I feel like the more I'm able to put that in the minds of people that I am the real deal for real, when they see me perform, there's a magic there with from the facial expressions to my body mechanics to you could see my passion. You could see that I'm in this.
yeah,
perform for the fan, for the people who love wrestling and who are really a part of the culture. Because this opportunity to be a professional wrestler, and my body can take this kind of pain, and I can still go out there and still give people, you know, a ride, as far as like an adventure, while it, whether it be 6 minutes, whether it be 8 minutes, whether it be 10 minutes, whether it be a half hour, I'm going to give you an adventure. I'm going to take you on a ride. This journey, this matchup is going to be exciting either way. Cause I'm going, you're going to have something to take away when you watch me perform. I kind of went off.
Perfect. Well, Kaiser, I have like 50 other questions, but I sense a divorce might be in my future. If I don't wrap this up soon, can I ask you 5 non-wrestling related yes or no questions?
Sure.
Okay. Can you burp on command?
Yes.
Nice. Okay. Do you have any plans to participate in the 2023 World Cow Chip Throwing Contest?
World what?
Cow Chip Throwing Contest?
No.
Okay. For $16.2 million, would you play running back for one game, maybe you'll get 20 carries in an NFL game without a helmet?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever eaten something that was still alive?
Have I eaten something that was still alive? No.
Uh-huh. Okay. And the last question, you're doing great. Have you ever, or do you currently ever go out wearing a cape?
A cape? Mm-hmm. I'm sure enough I will do it.
Okay. You 5 for 5. You did great. Perfect. where are you going to be? Where are you performing next?
Right now, my bookings are open. So, bookers, if you want to hook a brother up with a booking, I mean, I'm all about it.
Yeah, the only book I can give you is to babysit my kids so I can go out for an hour.
I'm very, and people don't, I've had people make their opinions about it, but I'm very strategic, 37 years old now, and I've been wrestling for 16 years. I've been able to make it back from some small injuries and things like that.
Yeah.
Luckily, thank God, I haven't had any crazy concussions. So I'm at a point where I moved to Atlanta last year. So this is where I'm at right now. And I'm just figuring life out. So with figuring life out, wrestling is still very important, but life is more important. Yes. Figuring out where I need to be in life in order to have myself correct for when it's time for me to perform, because I can't be distracted when I go into that ring. And if I have things outside of wrestling, like outside, you know, life things going on, I need to fix them before I perform, because I will not be able to be at 2,000,000%.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that makes sense. Well, hey, listen, thank you for coming on. It was a treat being able to talk to you and hear your stories and your honesty, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But I wish you nothing but health and success going forward, and hopefully we get to talk again some other time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, hey, man, I just did some I had an event with District Wrestling about 2 months ago, and kind of trying to work with them. And I also did want to mention, because I have to plug it.
Sure.
I recently have got involved with the Eat Clean Bro company that is in New Jersey and Atlanta. And it's a fantastic company that, you know, if you eatcleanbro.com, if you want some of the finest meals for your workout or just in general, Eat Clean Bro is amazing. So I linked up with them. So my code should be coming out soon, so I can share that.
Cool.
And I also have been working with a energy company called Mado, M-A-D-O.
Okay.
Look them up on my, you can look them up on my page, or you can look them up on Instagram.
What does Mado do?
Mado has BCAAs, of course, plenty of vitamins that are really good for you to keep you awake, keep you alert, keep you focused.
And,
it doesn't give you a crash. There's a lot of healthy, just vitamins that are in it. As like a list, a nice,
sure,
nice list. And, I really believe in this company because I've had the C4, I've had, Ghost. I got Ghost and I have Motto all over. I still use Ghost only because I like my pre-workout. Mm-hmm. But this can be used as just, you can use it as a pre-workout, you can use a post-workout, you can use it during, you can use it anytime, really. You don't have to be in a gym to drink Motto. It's You can have it with alcohol. You know what I mean?
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll have to send it to you. But yes, I'm making moves, man. And then, you know, like I said,
that sounds awesome.
Motion capture work. I'm getting with a studio very soon out here. So just trying to get in the show, trying to be in show biz, but still staying true to being a professional wrestler.
Sure.
The Nightmare Factory Fitness is an amazing place. And I've been very humbled and blessed to be a part of it. Thank you, QT Marshall, for that. And yeah, you're going to see me, man. Whether it be AEW Dark or at an independent wrestling company, you're going to see me. I promise you.
Awesome. I look forward to that. All right. You take care. Thank you again so much. And we'll talk again.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you very much.
Take care.